I used to have a copy here of what somebody in my Spanish class handed to me, and that was Pastor Greg's outline. They didn't know that when I was in vacation with Miracle of Computer, I did a translation for him of his lesson. And so he got the translation. And we have people who from time to time come to our church, and they live together without the bounds of marriage. And then they have children, don't know what to do. And the legal problem is with their status in the country. One is a refugee from the city of San Salvador in El Salvador, which is legally in the country because her parents were shot when she was 2 years old by the guerrillas. The grandpa raised it and moved from Mexico to this country who grant political asylum and eventually will become a person, a resident. And the other is just somebody who crossed the border from Mexico. And I visit with them. I do not deal about it. You did a wonderful a baby shower for the little girl, Ada. But the man claimed to be a Roman Catholic and not to use any use of evangelical church. So I went and bought the Revised Standard Version, has been authorized the Catholic Church to use that Bible, and then to modify it with a clarification. There is a modification from the Catholic doctrine. And so I bought one, and so I visited them, and I showed the man that in 1 Peter 5:5, the Catholic accepted the translation, saying that Peter, well, look with me, 1 minute before this. Sometimes the Lord does things that I don't understand, but they are miracles. They use the same, the King James 5:5, 1 Peter 5, in verse 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. And remember, the Revised Standard Version is the King James with some modifications of the year 1885, and a witness of the suffering. Now, the sentence that I want them to understand is, who am also an elder. And I don't say anything. I say, please go to your priest and tell him right here in town. There is a Spanish priest for this town, and he is Argentinian. And so tell him that Pastor Otero said that, that Peter is not the Pope, according to this scripture. And so he did. And the priest said, oh, these evangelicals, they changed the word of God. He said, no, this is the Catholic Church approved by the Pope. And there is no, the standard people who made the standard revision requested the Catholic Church do not put any comments except concordance. And so they added, and they said, this is a review of the Pope, and this and this and this, and no concordance. But then with that verse have concordance, that Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and reference to Peter. But Peter said, I'm just a shepherd, an elder. So the priest had no answer to that. So the man started coming to a Sunday school class. See, and now, see. And so then Brother Greg preached on February 28th, the lesson on Matthew 19:1-12 that I preached today for the single. He preached that, and I had made the translation on that. And then one of the sections, verse 5, he said the word glue, and I put in Spanish the word pegar, which is very strong for Spanish people. A man should pegar. Now, pegar has two meanings. Pegar means to hit, or pegar means to glue to the point that you cannot unglue that pegar. And so, pegar con buena goma, I said, pegar with the real glue. And so, somewhere, somehow, they don't understand the translation or something, but he was uncomfortable to be living together. And so they asked me to teach the Spanish version of the same class that I'm sorry that we don't record the class. That would be good. I would love to hear it. So he said, because I'm living wrong then before God. Now, we who know the scripture is this. Number one, an unbeliever will never ask this. Number two, an unbeliever will never respect the Bible unless God is drawing him to his kingdom. See, this is what is called in theology the election of God. God used any kind of a scripture, and it seems to me that it bothered him that he's living in that condition. He's working, he's doing this. But he said he wants me to teach it so that he can understand it and take action on it. What a blessed name. We have the Regis here, Heather and Matthew, who were living under that condition. I think, I don't know if Pastor Greg or myself mentioned them, and they changed their life. And they usually said, there is no money. They don't need no money. We buy a cake for you here. You do it here, and we never charge it. I remember after the wedding, Greg and I set up the church back again for you on Sunday morning. You know, there is no need of a wedding. She borrowed a dress, and he brought the things, and they spent very little, $500, and they did the wedding. Amy, remember here, she got the cake right here. And so how blessed we are that when we share the Word of God, God is touching life. That's what I check in the thermometer of the church. What we're doing? We're doing right or wrong? No, there is no 500 people coming here, but there is one here and one there and one there. The Word of God. No me or Pastor Greg or you. The Word of God. You teach a Sunday school class because you never know. This fruit is from the Sunday school class. You never know that God's going to use an Americano with a rotten translation to get the guy involved. Never misestimate the power of this word. Never misestimate. Now I bought a nice old Spanish English, what is called the King James Spanish, which is before the King James, and he's going to learn some Spanish words over there. But I tell you, I'm so thrilled. I'm sold to the power of the Word of God. And saying that, let's go to our page 89 and our outline you have with you. I'm going to do verse 17. I didn't before going to vacation, and I'm going to do verse 17 tonight. It's going to be very, very simple and very pleasing. So I want to get convinced myself, who is that woman that the Bible talks about? Verse 17 reads in this way, and of course I use strictly the King James when I go to Bible study because it's the only reliable source. Here it is. And the dragon was wroth with the woman. We know through previous scripture, especially on verse 9, the Bible tells you who the dragon is. See, in verse 9 say, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil. So we know by the scripture that the dragon was the devil. So going back to verse 17, said, and the dragon was wroth with the women and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, the remnant keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Not only keep the commandments of God, but they were saved people because they keep the testimony of Jesus Christ. So baffled in this attempt to destroy the women, Satan then in his rage will make war against the remnant of her seed. And so my question is, who is the remnant of her seed? Now, let's find out the enemy in thee, because the enemy is against the woman. And that reference, if you go to your Bible, to Genesis chapter 3. You go to your Bible to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. This is a fulfillment of these prophecy in the very first pages of our Bible. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed, God is speaking to the serpent, who is a picture of Satan, and thy seed and her seed, again, single words, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise her heel. Now, in my notes in page 89, I make a point, and the point is the seed is singular, but in the way it's written right here in Revelation, it's talking about her offspring. It's not just one seed, but in the way the Bible referred to in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17, the dragon was wroth with the women and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. That means her offspring, not just one, but the entire offspring. Now, who are the offspring of the women? That will be the case. So we have to go to the book of Genesis again. Pastor Tomlinson have mentioned the people make a lot of trouble with Genesis, and I know because it's the gospel in action, all right? In Genesis 15, verses 1 to 5, you have there, I'm extremely hot here, so with your permission, I'll let you see my beautiful shirt. All right. Well, that's what somebody told me. Said, you have a beautiful shirt. I said, well, my wife chooses it, my wife wash it. So everybody said, I'm good looking. It's okay. All right. Chapter 15, verse 1. All right. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in vision, saying, fear not, Abram, after God promised him that he's going to be the father of many. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. By the way, your reward is not 5 crowns in heaven, but who? Christ. All right. And your shield and protection, Christ. All right. Verse 2. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? At this time, the promised son was not yet born. And the steward of my house, the manager of my house, is this Eliezer of Damascus. He was a Syrian man. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. In other words, I have no seed. He was, like the Jewish people think all the time, on their national seed. All right. And lo, one born in my house is my heir, because according to the law, if you have no children, and the one servant who is born in your house, he then becomes the heir. So God answered that, and behold, verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heirs. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And I love verse 6. He believed in the Lord. He believed what the Lord said and was counted unto him unto righteousness. So now the seed... Then what the Bible was talking about, the offspring is the seed of Abraham. Who are they? Now you go to commentaries, many of them said, see, now God is saying that Israel will reign again and be in power to the very end. That's what they call the remnant, except that there is a trouble. If you go to Galatians, if we don't have this passage in Galatians, I used to believe that. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28, the Bible tells you who the seed really is, of the offspring of Abraham. Now, Abraham and the prophets, they all believed there was Israel, the nation, until Isaiah wrote things that he did not understand, but God dictated and he wrote it. Now, look at here what Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 29 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith, not by birth, by faith in who? In the Messiah, Christ, and the Messiah, Jesus. I explained briefly today to Camille that this singleness state is a blessing. Christ was blessed. And if we say the singleness is wrong, then Christ was wrong and was 33 when he died. He said, she told me a joke. She said, maybe they kill it because of this. No, there was no law that you had to be married at the age of the Bible. It was 13, 14 years old. The girls were given in matrimony. That was no law. That was what they did to multiply themselves. But here is what the Bible says. What concerning life, concerning faith, the seed of Abraham is not only the Jewish nation who believed that we read it this morning in Hebrews 3. Remember, some of them were killed, we read this morning in Hebrews chapter 3, because they believe not, said the scripture. So you are not a offspring of Abraham because you have some blood from a Jewish descendant. Now look at in verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew as a nation, no Greek. Greek is the word Eleonos, it means Gentiles. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, that word one, if I had to teach you how Greek writes and so on, refers to the antecedent word, the seed of Abraham. Now, look at verse 29. It's very clear. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed. That's single. You are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. I think that clarifies very clearly from the scripture that the offspring of that woman is not Israel alone, but all the believers called the offspring. Now, the text in Revelation chapter 12, in verse 17. See, I these questions, the question that I ask myself to study, I ask my question, who is the remnant? And point four, I ask my question, who are the ones who keep the commandments of God? All right? So let's go to the Gospel of John. Chapter 14 in Gospel of John and verse 15. The Gospel of John, chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, now Jesus is speaking. If you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not if you love Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is the father of the Jewish nation. If you love me, said Jesus, keep my commandments. Now I suggest that you go with me to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. So let me get there, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 22. All right, here we are. Here's what the scripture says, 22 and verse 24. I'm reading verse 22 and 1 John chapter 3. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Now that's the New Testament, and that's the Gentiles talking. Verse 24. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Doesn't say the Jew who keeps his commandments, say he. In other words, that could be a Gentile or could be a Jewish person. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given. Look at where here. Given us. And us is not the Jewish people only, but the Gentiles also. So now I want to go to John chapter, 1 John chapter 5 and verse 2 and verse 3. By these we know that we love the children of God when we love God and, again, keep his commandments. Now look at in verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandment, and his commandments are no seriously a problem or no grievous. That's for the believer only. For the unbeliever, it will be difficult because you have to have the Spirit of God to do it. If we were unbelievers, we cannot keep it. But when we have the Spirit of God, then we have the ability to keep it. So in answer to the question, who are the ones who keep the commandments of God? The believers is the answer. The believers. Now, those believers could be of the nation of Israel today, or could be Gentiles. The majorities are Gentiles. So the remnant is talking about the leftover of believers, which are a mix of Gentiles and Jewish people. Now, the verse in Revelation 12:17 says, and went to make war against the remnant of her seed, against the believers, which keep the commandments of God. And so who are the ones who keep the and the commandments of God and the testimony? And the testimony of Jesus Christ said, verse 17. You see that? In Revelation 12:17 said, no, the war that Satan make is against those who keep the commandments, believers, Jews, and Gentiles, and against those who keep the testimony of Christ Jesus. All right? Now, who are the ones who keep the testimony of Christ Jesus? Now, the word testimony is something that the dictionary spelled this in England in the University of Oxford. And the British asked me, don't use any dictionary from America. They are all tainted with their desires to please the president. You know, it's funny to talk to different people across the nation. And because I'm a Latin, he said, you understand what a king means. So here it is. The testimony is something that serves as evidence. And that's good. That I checked with Kim, and he said, that's what the law said. A testimony is something that serves as evidence. Now, the testimony of Christ. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10, all right? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 20. Matthew 10 and verse 20. Here's the testimony of Christ. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. So the testimony of Christ is that when we speak about Christ, if you're a believer, it is actually not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit giving you the power to speak and lead people. That's why you and I understand the scripture, because we have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you go again to my favorite verse in Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 13, You know that you, if you claim yourself to be a believer, you do have the Holy Spirit within you. In Ephesians 1:13, the Bible said, in whom ye also trust after that ye heard the word of truth. Nobody can trust God unless you hear the Bible, the word of truth, the Bible. All right? The gospel of your salvation had to be clear. All right? And today, I have a lot of Catholics in the class, and we talk about, remember the lesson in Sunday school today? There was a great lesson on the marvelous question, who can have eternal life? That verse 16 says, who can have eternal life? And one guy appeared over there and said, oh, I kept all the commandments. But he kept God in love, because Jesus said, well, give all the billions of dollars that you have, give it to the poor. He said, oh, no, it's not that we have to give the money to the poor. It is that we cannot keep one for ourselves. All right? And so here's what the Spirit of God says. This, after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after ye believe, ye were sealed, and you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Now, in order to be part of the church, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13 tell us that we need to have a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which our free and the Pentecostals think that baptism is indicated to you by speaking in tongues. The Bible doesn't say anything like that. Look at here in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body. Now, baptized means to place into something. And so here the Bible confirms it. Baptized into the body. Whether, here is the classification, whether we be Jew, that means your nationality, your race, whether you be Jew or Gentiles, whether ye born or free, that's your status. There is no difference for God, you know. There is no one rich and poor. There is no one white and black. There is not such a difference. You see, born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. In other words, who are the ones who keep the testimony of God? Those who have been touched by the Spirit of God. Those that the Spirit of God draw to him and brought into confrontation with sin and believe that Jesus Christ replaced their life. Now, because I have Catholic people in my class, I had to bring the lesson to who justify you before God. And we had the barriers people in our class. And of course, they, Anselba, I think, is the church. And if you're a Catholic, properly is the church. But the lesson today was not talking about the church justifying you. There was an individual who had no church, who was a rich fella, and who said, no, I love the money more than obeying God. And so, how do you get saved then, she said. Oh, what a great lesson today. How do you get saved? I said, well, Brother McCain, I think, spoke about Christ. And so, here's what it is. The great lesson here is who keep the testimony of Christ. The only people that keep the testimony of Christ are the believers. And the believer keep it not because they are smarter than anybody else, because the Holy Spirit have come into their life and show them and move them to believe. Now, a proof of that, I don't have it in the notes, but if you go to me to the Gospel of John, this is to me the most glorious passage about the Holy Spirit. In chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, and in verse 7, I start reading from verse 7, Jesus is trying to tell the disciples that he's going to go away. Look at in John 16, 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go another way, the Comforter, and the Comforter, that word is used in John 14, 26 as the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. And what the Holy Spirit is going to do? Well, when he has come, he will reprove or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. What kind of sin? Because I drink coffee or something? No, look at here, verse 9. Of sin because they believe not in me. The reason why you believe in Christ Jesus, the reason why you believe in Christ Jesus is because the Holy Spirit has convicted you, has convinced you that yes, you cannot save by yourself. The church cannot save you. The pastor cannot save you. The deacons cannot save you. But Christ can. That's the way it is. So the remnant are those who keep the testimony of Christ. Then my question is, who is the remnant? Well, let me show you. Most of the people written, if it's not reformed people, most of the people who write, they write the Jew. But if you go to John Gospel chapter 1, in verse 11, I respectfully want to say that God is no longer dealing with Israel as the nation of God. He's dealing with the Israelite as people who need to be saved. God do not close the door. No Jew cannot be saved. No, I'm not saying that. But look in verse 11 in Gospel of John chapter 1. He came unto his son, and his son received him not. Now, did God fail? No, look at verse 12. Thank God for verse 12. Look at verse 12. But as many as received him, as many, everybody, Jew and Gentile, received him, to them gave he power to become, give him authority, actually said the Bible, to become the sons, tekna, the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. And the Bible clarified that in verse 13, how you become a believer, which were born not of blood, that's the Jewish, not of the will of the flesh, that's the Gentile, not of the will of man, that's the state of Rome, but of God. Remember when Constantine said, all we are Christians in the state of Rome, that's not the way that you become Christian, but for God. And so who is the remnant? Are not the Jewish nation. Now let's go to the book of Romans 9:27. Romans, from the scripture in John 1:11-12, the remnant are not the Jewish nation. Now in chapter 9 of the book of Romans, in verse 27, the Bible says, Isaiah also cried concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now the sand of the sea is the nation of Israel. Remember in Genesis 15, in verse 1 to 5, God was speaking to Abraham and said, your seed will be as the sand of the stars, and here say as the sand of the sea. And so God is saying, no, everybody who was born into the nationality of Israel will be saved, only those who believe. And so in Romans 9:27, the Bible is speaking about Israel. And he said, only a remnant of those people will be saved. And so at the end of time, Israel is going to be incorporated into the salvation of God. And that women represent also the nation of Israel in the sense that some of them will come and believe in the Messiah and be part of the Messiah. Now I understand that more clear and more open to my mind. Now, God's people then from the cross on will come to Christ, and God in his wonderful power in mind, will have a remnant also from Israel, from the nation of Israel, from Jewish nation, to be part of that remnant in salvation. And so that fits more the package. They, at the end of time, an amazing thing will happen, that this remnant of God, made of Jewish people, more than what we have today, there will be a flourishing of Israel being saved, Israelites being saved, together with the Gentile. Satan now is hopeful, mad, and is going to make a war against them. So that is my super understanding of now I have a real mind. I thought that God will be totally away with Israel because of John 1:11. But who was Gabriel Otero to understand everything? So God, when you have questions and I look over, and then in a humbleness of heart, I have to say, God is to prove that he do not fail in the nation of Israel, will have a remnant to prove. That's my understanding. Now, any questions you have? Well, you chew this a little more, and then you ask me more. Thank you for your question, because it makes me go back and study. We are not here. This is the truth. I just exposed to you what I learned, and I maybe have a little blank note here and there, then I go back and study. So here, let me go back to Revelation 12, verse 17, and I'm going to read it now with my own understanding. And the dragon, and you can replace the word dragon for the word Satan, was wroth against the women. Who is the women? As a remnant of the nation of Israel and a remnant of Gentiles. And those remnant of Israel will have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and will have to believe in the commandments of God, and will have to believe the testimony of Christ that he is the man of God. And Satan cannot take it. It's going to make, you know, when you stand for Christ, all things happen to you. You know that? I don't know if you know this in your life, but happened in my life, in the life of people. As soon as they become a believer, every sin is against them. The Bible said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he that is in you than the one is in the world. So don't give up. If things happen to you because you are clean before God, and things happen to you on your work, in this or in the other, don't be afraid. It's natural. Satan is upset that you love the Lord Jesus. Now remember that. Satan is upset that you love the Lord Jesus. But greater is he that is in you than the one that's in the world. So at the end of time, so I know this is no, I hear in the radio Mr. Campy saying, we are in the period of the Great Tribulation. I tried to call two or three times. This time I want to call. I want to be more open. And it was busy, the line. Oh, now they check who you call and they check who your name is. I say, this is doctor, the very Dr. Otero. I said, and then the guy maybe hung up. But I tell you, we are not in the Great Tribulation because we don't see a massive Israelites coming into the kingdom. We will see it at the very end together with you. And so I told this morning to our beautiful girl here, Camille, I said, there is hope for you, Camille. There is hope. she said something to me. She said, I'm not against Christ anymore. Well, then, see, you pray. Because you know how many people pray for you? All right? I was young. Who cares about the gospel, see? So the Lord have people in mind. And God use any one of you, any one of you, even use any child to lead it. What God has to use is the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit said, now, that's it. I said, Mother, how much you kick, you come into the kingdom. So praise the Lord for this revelation of verse 17. I don't know why my lesson last time went all the way to verse 16 and I stopped and not. I think I don't saw. Look at how old I am, Anthony. I don't saw verse 17. Otherwise, if I will say verse 17, will help me more. May God bless us. And that means we keep on busy telling people about our Lord and our Savior. We hear everybody, like the Bible, Paul said, you think, take the good and leave the other away. Thank you, Lord, for the lesson tonight. You're a merciful God that reveals things to us in a marvelous way. So thank you, and thank you, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for the young man who introduced to us that whatever we see in the design of nature is not that just happened. is a designer. We know who the designer is, God in the person of Christ. Thank you, Father. Give us a good week. For those who have no job, Lord, there are people in our church, Brother Hudson, Brother Veloz, and others. Open the door, Brother Salvador. Open the door, Lord, that they may have the opportunity to feed their family as required by the scripture. For those who are sick, Lord, our Brother Noriel, we pray that our Brother Noriel be restored. Romulo is sick, Father, and we miss him. Lord, you have mighty power. Our brother Curly is very short in his lungs, and he told me today something that he never said, that his lungs are sleeping, said the doctor, and he can die in his sleep because the lungs are tired of so much drug. Father, keep him alive until he is sure that he's a child of God. Thank you that we can pray and you answer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.